Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If there's an issue you'd like to talk about or a Bible question we can answer for you, why, we invite you to call right now. That toll-free number is 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. We are live on the air and online, so you can discuss the issues that are important in your life right now or get a quick but thoughtful answer to your question. The phone lines are open now, and again, the toll-free phone number is 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. And now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Basic Gospel really centers around the person and work of Jesus Christ. He is God's gift to us. He is the good news that our hearts long to hear. I love what Paul wrote in his letter to the Romans. He talked about faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Many of the Bible translations translated as the Word of God, but in the Greek, in the original language, it's the message concerning Christ.
Yes.
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the message concerning Christ Jesus. He is God's good news to man, and when we respond to Him, when our lives get centered around Him, everything changes. We go from death to life. We receive a new identity. We have a clean heart that wants to trust Him. And that's how we're called to live, by faith in Christ, in His indwelling presence. He comes to live inside of us. That is the good news of Jesus Christ. And when we experience that new life, there's something that happens inside of us. We experience joy. And a joy that transcends circumstances. We can be joyful because regardless of what's going on in life, we're still loved by God.
Yes.
And we know that love, and we're connected to that love. There's an interesting story today on the Today Show. And I normally watch the Today Show as I'm getting ready to come into the office. And their tease was, you know, how can we experience sustained happiness in life? You may be surprised by the answer. So I was hooked. I wanted to know what the answer was. And so there's a study that has just recently come out by the London School of Economics. And I think they studied 9,000 people. They had 9,000 folks that participated in this study. And what they concluded is those that are more religious, quote, religious, tend to be happier than everyone else. And they wanted to know why that was the case, and they came up with several different explanations. One being the fact that it's a lasting reality. You know, if you're involved in a church group, that church group is built on lasting, enduring truths, timeless truths, things that your mom and dad experience, things that your grandparents experience. There's a continuity to what you're going to hear and receive in the church. So that gives a solid foundation under life. And so you can be happy. You can be a little more content. You can be a little more secure with who you are as a person. They also found in the study that a religious affiliation is very instrumental in keeping depression and those sort of things at bay. You have a place to go and to share, you know, life's most difficult circumstances. So I just found that very interesting. And I think, you know, why I was interested in it is because it really underscores, I think, the importance of knowing the gospel of Jesus Christ, that He is the one that anchors our soul. He is the one that is the foundation for life. Apart from Christ, we're nothing. We have nothing. As Jesus said, He's the vine, we're the branches. When we abide in Him, we're going to bear much fruit. What's that fruit? One of the nine things listed as the fruit of the Spirit is joy.
Yes.
So he's the source of that. And as we rely on Him, we can experience joy in our lives regardless of what's going on out there in the world. And He said if we're not abiding in Him, you know, we are absolutely nothing apart from him.
Yeah.
So that's why we need to know this good news of Jesus Christ.
And that's why we're here on the air every day, so that we can share that good news with you. And we would love for you to pose a question, or if there's some pressing issue that you're experiencing right now, something you'd like to discuss, give us a call. The lines are pretty much wide open right now at 844-322-2742. Again, that's toll-free, 844-322-2742 in the U.S., and in Canada. And guys, a question from an anonymous listener says, my question is, as a believer, when I pray, do I only pray to our Father, or do I pray to Jesus? Do I pray to the Father in Jesus' name? Do I pray to the Holy Ghost? I believe in the Trinity, of course, but is it wrong to approach Jesus in prayer? Please talk about the correct way to pray, and thank you so much. And as I said, that's from an anonymous listener.
It's kind of an interesting question. What yeah. is the correct way to pray, as if there's a correct way to do that? We have a privilege to communicate with God. That's what prayer is all about. It's about communicating with God. And we have that privilege because of what Christ Jesus has done. Apart from the work of Jesus, apart from his death, burial, and resurrection, we would just throw up empty words in hopes that a God might hear it. But in Christ, that connection has been made. We have been brought near to the Father because of the work of Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So we have to realize that Jesus is our link to God the Father. He opens the way for us so that we can actually pray and have this relationship with him. Now, God, as we know him, is manifested in three persons. There's this word Trinity. It's not in the Bible, but it's a word that describes what we see in the Bible. Some folks like the word Godhead better. I like that because that word's actually in the Bible. So what is the Godhead made up of? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So when you're praying to Jesus, you're praying to the Godhead. Why? Because Paul wrote that within Jesus resides the Godhead bodily. So when we're praying to Jesus, we're praying to the Godhead. When we're praying to God the Father, same thing. Praying to the Holy Spirit, the same thing. I tend to pray to Jesus. Sometimes in a more formal setting, I'll say, Dear Heavenly Father. But just in my own personal times with the Lord, I tend to pray to Jesus. Why? Because there's, in my mind, such a personal, intimate connection with Jesus. He became one of us. He knows exactly what we're going through. He knows the temptations we've experienced. He knows what we feel. And so because of that, I tend to, in my personal times, pray to Jesus. But I don't think you're going to be counted wrong if you pray to God the Father in Jesus' name, if you pray to Jesus, if you pray to the Holy Spirit. I don't think you're going to be counted wrong on any biblical test or Christian living test.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when my kids got older, they started using different names for me. Quite often it was Dad. But if one of them calls me Richard, I don't get upset. We now have a different kind of relationship. They can call me by that first name if they want to. It's no different than with Jesus and the Father.
Yeah.
Of course, here at the office, we have to call him Mr. Pfeiffer. So,
yes, that's right.
Yeah,
never forget that.
Yeah, with fear and trembling.
844-322-2742. The lines are wide open, friends. Take advantage of this opportunity to go ahead and pose your question. If you've been holding on to it, don't hold on to it anymore. Let's get it out there. 844-322-2742. Question from Lisa, who writes to us from New York, listens on our great New York area affiliate WNCA. Says, I was talking to a Muslim friend, and he said that Jesus came after Adam and Eve, and I said he was before because he is God and was involved in creating man. Genesis 1:26 says, let us make man in our image. Is the us here the Holy Trinity? Is that including Jesus? That's the question from Lisa.
Well, that gets back to the first question about prayer. Yes. It's the Godhead. So that Godhead is made up of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I think John really answers that question for us in his first chapter of his gospel. He starts it with these words: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, but the darkness has not understood it." So John starts out in a very powerful way. I mean, he just gets to the very issue. Who is this Jesus? Well, he's known as the Word, and as the Word, he was with God, and the Word was God. So who is the Word? The Word is God. He goes on to say, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So this Word became flesh, and so that's Jesus. So Jesus has always existed. He was always with God, and as a matter of fact, was always God. There's never been a time that he wasn't. Sometimes that's hard for our minds to comprehend, to apprehend, but it's true. Jesus has always existed. There was never a point where he didn't. So he was before Adam and Eve. Now he became man after Adam and Eve. So there's Adam that we refer to as the first Adam. He's the one that was created in God's image, and just his life lived in dependence upon his Creator, reflected the very character of God the Father. But when sin entered into that picture, that image was marred. It was changed. And so he reflects something different. Major Ian Thomas said this years ago. He said, "What if there were people on another planet and they knew God existed, but that's all they knew of God? And somebody got word to them that there was this planet called Earth, and the people there were created in the image of God. And so if you go there, you'll find out what God is like."
Absolutely.
So if they came to planet Earth today, what would they think about God? Well, he's a liar. He's a thief. Yeah. He's an adulterer. He's greedy. He's all of these things that we see in the world today. Well, that's not the true picture of God.
Yes.
God's not like that at all. And so he sent Jesus. And Jesus shows us the real picture of God. And in that real picture, he has become the second Adam. And in that role has become a life-giving Spirit. So when we come to him by faith, we receive the very life of God. We're restored to that initial place that Adam and Eve inhabited. And we get to reflect the true image of God as we live by faith in Jesus. As we abide in the vine, we as branches abiding in the vine to show forth his life into this world of darkness.
Absolutely. Well, we appreciate hearing from our listeners by email. And if you have a question that you'd like to pose, can't get to the phone while we're on the air live, why, drop us a line at bob@basicgospel.net. Again, bob@basicgospel.net. That's pretty easy to remember, I think. By the way, friends, you know, all you have to do is look around you every day to know that there is an increasing number of issues plaguing society and the Christian voice in America. But there is a right way for believers to respond to such troubling things, and we discuss what that response should be on our CD called Pierce the Darkness. We would like for you to have a copy of it, and one can be yours this month for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. For your free copy, click Donate on any page at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net, or speak with our operator at 844-412-2742. Again, that number, 844-412-2742. Hear truth. Help truth to continue to be disseminated on the air in these troubling times. And at the same time, help make sure that this message remains on the air, changing lives by the truth of God's Word. Again, click Donate on any page at basicgospel.net, basicgospel.net, or speak with our operator at 844-412-2742.
Regardless of what's going on, we can stand on the clear teaching of God's Word.
Absolutely. And there's quite a bit of interesting discussion on this particular CD, Pierce the Darkness, as we look at some of the various issues that are happening in the world today, happening here in the United States of America. And, you know, what are we for? What are believers in Christ? What do we stand for? Oftentimes, when the world looks at us, they say, oh, they're those people who are against this or who are against that. Well, that's not a clear picture.
No.
We should be known for what we're for, not what we're against. And when people see what we're for, I think they will be interested, because what we're for is some good stuff, us experiencing life, experiencing flourishing as human beings, us living out what God has called us to live out, fulfilling our ultimate purpose. That's what we're for, and that's why some of these issues that we're facing today are so vitally important for us to know how to think through them, how to see the grace of God shaping the way we think through those, and how we're to see the times that we're living in today as an incredible opportunity to inject the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
We have a great opportunity right now to take a stand for the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. And that's why we want to put this CD in your hands.
Jesus is the answer.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go down to Hutto, Texas, and talk to Clay. Hi, Clay.
Hey, Bob and Richard, how y'all?
We're doing fine.
Fine.
How about you today?
Yeah, I finally got that streaming video. I'm listening to Word 107. Isn't that in Dallas?
That's in Dallas. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm getting high tech. Hey, I wanted to, you know how we get all these calls about water baptism and everything we were talking about last week? So I was reading about it, and I want to make a short comment and see if you agree with it.
Okay.
In Matthew 3:13, it says, "Then cometh Jesus to Galilee, to the Jordan, unto John, to be baptized by him. But John said, or forbid him, and saying, I have need that you baptize me. Why, and you cometh to me?" And we go back to verse 11 and 3, and he's talking to the Pharisees. And he says, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier, whose shoes I'm not worthy to tie or to put on. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." So it looks to me like John knew of the baptism that Jesus would do after his resurrection, and he knew that his baptism of water through repentance could not give new birth. It could not give eternal life. And so what John was talking about when he said to Jesus, he wanted that baptism that would be that wouldn't be available until after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What do you think about that?
Well, I think you're spot on there, Clay. Like you said, we get all caught up in the water side of things and fail to see what Jesus is going to baptize us with or in, and the Holy Spirit and with fire. And those are pretty important things for us to really come to grips with. When he talks about baptizing you with the Holy Spirit, he's talking about life. He's talking about becoming that life-giving spirit and placing us into the body of Christ as fully alive people in the Lord. That's what it means to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. This baptism with fire is speaking about judgment. Anytime you see the word fire in the Bible, it often refers to judgment. And that's what Jesus is going to do at the end. He's going to be the judge, isn't he? And all authority has been given to him, and he can judge just as God the Father can judge. And so he's going to stand in judgment of those who have rejected him, who have rejected the offer of life, this offer of being baptized with the Holy Spirit. So I think you're right. John the Baptist is saying, boy, that's what I want. But that time had not yet come. Christ had not gone to the cross. Christ had not been buried. Christ had not been raised back to life. And so Jesus simply says, you need to baptize me to fulfill all righteousness. This is God being faithful to his promise to send me as the Savior of the world, and this is the time where I'm going to be identified to Israel as the one whom God promised to send. And so that's the fulfillment of all righteousness there. But John the Baptist, he carried out that role, but deep within his heart, he's saying, I wish it was him baptizing me.
Amen.
So, yeah, so I think you're spot on, Clay.
You said that well. I don't really see where all the confusion is with that. It's just so simple to the child. You know, baptism without salvation through the baptism of Jesus Christ is worthless, and a person has to have the ability to choose it. So certainly you have to know the, you know, in Colossians, I don't know the scripture, but it talks about understanding the operation of baptism, you know. Well, I understand the operation of water baptism. To me, it's like after you've entered through the narrow gate, it's to set your mind in agreement with the Word of God to walk down the narrow path that's after the gate. But I just don't see where all this confusion is. It comes up over and over. I guess it's the old thing of like in Mark 7:13, the tradition of man.
Well, there's a lot of confusion because we confuse it. The church has confused that issue. There are so many folks that say, unless you're baptized in water, you can't be saved. And then when you press the issue, well, I've been baptized in water. And they say, well, no, you have to be baptized in the water at our church by our pastor in order to be saved. And so there's all these strings attached to water baptism, and there's none as far as the gospel is concerned. It is a non-string attached proposition. It's simply Jesus died, Jesus was buried, Jesus was raised back to life, and through faith in him, you can live. That's what it means to
Amen,
be baptized
Bob.
By the Holy Amen. Spirit. Well, Clay, thanks for your call today. We appreciate it.
Yes, indeed. I had a question from Terry in Arizona. Says, if the church is the called out ones or believers, and the Bible says not to be unequally yoked, why do churches invite the unsaved in? And this is kind of a second part of this question. When churches mainly preach salvation messages, how or when do believers get to the meat of the Bible or be fed? I thought the church was to go out into the world, not invite the world into the church.
Well, certainly over the last 50 years or so, we've had a movement toward seeker-sensitive churches. So it's trying to pull people in to introduce them to the saving life of Christ. So a lot of Sunday messages are very evangelistic in nature for that very reason. So the church is trying to make, or a lot of these seeker-sensitive churches are trying to make the message somewhat more relevant to their neighbors. Now, some of those churches, to meet the discipleship needs of the believers within the church, would have other opportunities for that, say on a Wednesday night or something like that. But I do think the role of the church when we meet together is to stir and stimulate us to love and good works, so that we can go out into the world and be lights in this darkness that we enter into every week, whether it's in the workplace or just being out and among people, so that we can be equipped to give an answer for the hope that is within us.
Right.
So you never see people coming to church in the Word of God. You always see the church going out into the world to share this good news of Jesus Christ. But as I said, there has been this seeker-sensitive movement. I think there's been some powerful things that have happened through it. Many people have come to Christ. But hopefully there is an equipping process in place that can enable them to go back into the world and be a light for Christ.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, friends, you know, the love of Jesus Christ is what we talk about every day on this broadcast. It's our purpose to make his love known, to help people hear, believe, and live in the abundance of his love and grace. If you're new to Basic Gospel, and if you've heard truth that has made a difference in your life, you can help too. We need your help, because there are many more who are mired in religious error who need to hear the truth that will, in fact, set them free. You can help us get the word out by clicking donate on any page at basicgospel.net or by speaking with our operator at 844-412-2742. your gift of any amount this month, you'll get a copy of our CD, Pierce the Darkness, that we talked about just a few moments ago. Well, thanks for being with us today, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry team, Bob Davis inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.